All right. So we're going to continue on in the book of Proverbs. So we talked about pride and humility. We talked about accepting advice and correction. And so today we're going to talk about being teachable. Whenever I'm looking for somebody to work for me or with me, this is one of the qualities I look for. If somebody is not teachable, they're arrogant and they know it all. And so they make all kinds of mistakes, and you can never help them correct it. But when somebody is teachable, they're hungry for growth. They're hungry to learn, and they're very helpful and beneficial. In fact, guess what? They become teachers for me. And so it works out well. We have children, right? And they reach an age sometimes when they know it all, right? You start telling them something, I know, I know, I know. After a while, it gets really annoying, doesn't it? And then you realize, oh, there was a day when I did that. That day may have been yesterday. We want to be careful with that. We want to be teachable. I've given you a lot of verses there as I went through the book of Proverbs and pulled out a bunch that were talking about being teachable. Some are positive, those who are teachable, blah. And then there's some that are negative, those who refuse teaching, blah. So that's for you, hopefully. And some of you I know, through the week goes, you're looking all these up. And that's part of your personal Bible study. And so keep it up. And that's a good thing to do. So today we're going to talk about being teachable. The main verse is Proverbs 4:13. We'll only look at that in one section, and it won't be till towards the end. But the outline looks like this. Being teachable, one must look for instruction. It's not going to come by and hit you in the noggin. You got to be looking for it. It's just like a jewel or a piece of gold. If there's a nugget of gold, you're digging, you're looking for it, right? That's what makes it precious. It's rare, and you have to go find it. Knowledge is the same thing. Something you have to hunt for, seek, and look after. If it was just on the ground, you could pick it up. It'd be like any other rock, and not that important. So one must look for instruction. Number two, one must listen to instruction. Okay, it's not enough, oh, I found it, and then walk away from it. You got to listen to it. And then the third one is pretty logical. One must learn from instruction. It's not enough to seek it, to find it, and then walk away. You got to apply it. So we're going to talk about those issues here. So number one, one must look for instruction. And I want to start like I have always started as we're going through Proverbs, and we're going to say it time and time again. Letter A. One must look for instruction, letter A, in the right place. Hey, I've got a mug, and it has all of these sayings on it, sayings of wisdom. Somebody bought it for me, I think one of my daughters. And there's some good stuff in there that comply with God's word, and there's others in there that are just human wisdom. Okay? That cup does not contain wisdom. It contains opinions. God's wisdom is right here. It reflects who God is. There's only one thing more important than your Bible. It's the one who wrote it. Okay? It's one thing to revere God's word, but don't be a Pharisee. You need to love the one who wrote it. It's a gift. So, one must look for instruction in the right place, and where is that? And that is in God's word, in God. In Proverbs chapter 1, that's the opening theme of Proverbs. We have to have a right understanding of that to even understand what the rest of Proverbs is about. He writes, the author, Solomon, he writes and tells why he is writing this book or these groupings of Proverbs. In verse 2, it starts, for attaining wisdom, discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and a prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. You see, that's all important. It's written so that we can understand something. But verse 7 summarizes all of it, and verse 7 sets the tone for the rest of the book of Proverbs. In fact, the whole book of the Bible. Verse 7 reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Remember that term fear. It means everything from utter terror to awe and reverence and everything in between. If you're in a right relationship with the Lord, you're on this end of the spectrum. Okay? You're enjoying a relationship with Him. This is the mark of a wise person. One who enjoys learning more about God. And after all, He is the Creator. He created life. He created where we live. So He knows what He intended for the human to be doing as far as relating to one another and honoring Him. And so we need to honor Him in that relationship. Instruction doesn't mean mere intelligence. It means a relationship. And from the very beginning, God created heavens and earth, and then created everything. The last thing He created was Adam and Eve. That's where the relationship takes place. In Genesis chapter 3, relationship is severed, not by Creator, but by the created. That has been the heart of sin ever since. I don't need you, God. I'm going to do it my way. It's the mark of a fool. Adam and Eve played the fool as they turned away from the Lord. But the Lord proved merciful, and He pursued relationship with humans ever since. And He provided His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins so that we don't have to, so that we can have a relationship with Him if we accept Christ as God in the flesh and the work He did on the cross, paying for salvation. So, in the right place is a relationship with God. If you're in relationship with God, you're going to be very interested in understanding what God's Word says, and you're going to be very interested in applying what it does. You're going to be teachable. You're going to be humble. Look at letter B. So not only do we need to make sure it's in the right place, but from the right person. There's a whole lot of people out there, and maybe you're one of them, who think they have a whole lot of wisdom to share. And sometimes it's questionable. Sometimes it's right on. We need to be careful. So I have some verses here. I'm not going to wait for you to turn to them all. If you get ahead of me, that's cool. But if we wait to turn to all these verses, then my sermon's going to be like longer than normal. And it'll be your fault, not mine. But anyway. So in Proverbs 14:7, see, I hope you look these up later. In Proverbs 14:7, it says, "Stay away from a foolish man." It doesn't say avoid. It doesn't say just kind of stand clear. What does it say? Very black and white, calls a spade, stay away from a foolish person. Too often we buddy up with people who prove to be foolish. Remember, foolish is not dealing with intelligence. It's dealing with your relationship with the Lord. And there are so many times when we're buddies with somebody who will not receive correction, who are not humble, who are just driven with undisciplined passion, and there are people who will not heed or listen or be teachable. Man, you need to stay away from them. The Bible says so. Hey, that doesn't mean they don't need a believer to come alongside and share the gospel. But if you spend significant time with these people, guess what? You're walking down their path. So it says, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. Remember, we've talked about this when we talked about pride, when we talked about those who won't receive correction or advice. They live here, right here. My imagination, it's my opinion. I have nothing to substantiate it other than the facts that I think I have come up with to come up with that, but they're living outside of their relationship with the Lord. Look at, actually, chapter 15, verse 7 says, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of fools." They don't care to spread knowledge. They care to spread their opinion. And then another one, chapter 15, verse 14, "The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly." A fool and a wise, we need to take advice or be teachable from the right person. I'm going to give you a difference between a fool and the wise. A fool, and not talking about mental capacity, but it's talking about a person's chosen focus in life. One who is foolish lives like God is either not there or doesn't matter. A fool is one who lives by their own opinion. After all, I'm right, and you're wrong if you disagree with me. There's no substance to support it other than their emotion, their passion, their feeling. Their focus is to live out of one's own imagination. out of their own opinion. There's little to no need to understand God's ways. After all, I've got it all up here. A wise person desires to listen to God's ways. A wise person is open to correction and instruction. A wise person desires the company of wise people, eager to hang around them. A wise person says, here's what I think is the truth. Here's the evidence. Have I understood it correctly? Willing to have somebody say, well, I don't think you interpreted this evidence correctly. It leads more this way. And a wise person is going to evaluate that and either say, I see what you mean, or I don't. It doesn't make sense what you're saying. But they're not afraid of having somebody say, your opinion is askew. A fool wants to protect their own opinion. So they're not going to be teachable. After all, how can you teach me anything if I know it all? A wise person knows they don't know it all and longs for teaching. So from the right person, they are demonstrated, a fool and a wise person, by their behavior. Okay, look at letter C. One must look for instruction that creates a healthy appetite. All right? A healthy appetite. You understand an appetite, right? Right? You ever get really hungry? Just can't wait to eat? And it almost doesn't matter what the food is on the table. You're just hungry. You can eat stuff you normally wouldn't eat. That's an appetite. Okay? Chapter 18, verse 15 says this, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. Do you hear the word acquire? The word seek? It's not just sitting back saying, I've got it, or I'm basically got it down. This is somebody who is saying, I don't have it, and I want to find it. So you're going to go acquire it. You're going to seek it out and find it. An appetite. An appetite for learning. Did you understand there's nothing magical about learning? You've met people in your life, and they were pretty good students. And you kind of wish you were them. You can learn just like them. Some of us have more intelligence than others, But at the same time, learning is nothing magical. That's what God intended us to do. In fact, when we're in heaven in eternity, I think we're still going to be learning. Because God is infinite, and I can't know everything about Him. If I did, I'd be equal to Him. Can't happen. So I'm going to still be learning. Okay? But there's nothing magical about learning. All you have to do is want it. You got to want to learn. When I was younger, I thought history was the most boringest thing on the planet. It's probably the teacher that was boring. But I had a hard time keeping the dates and the people and like, who cares? I'd rather go talk about the battles in the Civil War. That's a little more exciting for a young boy, right? So the history was a bit boring. And so it was really hard. I didn't want to learn. As years went on, I began to have a hunger for history. And I started looking at it and going, this stuff is relevant. I don't want to repeat the same mistakes that looks like the world has been repeating for millennia, right? And I began to find it very fascinating. All of a sudden, I had a hunger, an appetite, and I love to study history. It's really fun. When you realize that all you have to do is want it, God is going to grant you the desire to know more about Him. He doesn't want to hide Himself from you. He wants to make Himself known. But He wants you to be vested in the effort. One must want it. Hey, the Sounders won the championship the other day, right? I guarantee you they didn't go to the game going, well, yeah, I wonder what's on TV. Man, I kind of hope I get a steak tonight. That wasn't the conversation. They wanted to win. So they were talking about how they're going to play and play well and support one another. You got to want it. Okay? Then if you look at chapter 23, verse 12, it says, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Notice it does not say apply your mind, apply your intelligence, apply your brain. What does it say? Apply your... Okay? Heart is where your existence is. It's what you like, dislike. It's what pushes the buttons that makes you want to move and do. And so what it's saying is apply your heart. You got to gain knowledge and instruction with your brain, but let it sink down into here and live it out loud. Apply your heart. This means to discipline your desires. Desires left undisciplined will corrupt you, will damage you, and they hurt other people. You need to learn to discipline them. That's what a wise person does. They also need to discipline your efforts. Okay? Gaining wisdom is not something that just happens. It ain't easy. It's a lifetime of work, of your effort. You need to understand it's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Your effort is disciplining yourself to obey. And also discipline to work at it. There's a verse in Awana uses. From this verse, they get the words A-W-A-N-A, Awana, approved workmen are not ashamed. The verse goes like this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay? When it starts there, study to show yourself. The whole concept there is diligent. Be diligent about it. It also has the concept of by the sweat of the brow. Sometimes we are so careless in our Christianity, we kind of read, oh, there's a couple of verses, I'll think about that all day long. What it means is to open up God's Word and work at understanding what God is teaching you. Sometimes Christianity has become so easy. So easy that we don't have to go to church. We don't need somebody to teach us. We can crack open the Bible and read a verse and I got it. There's so much more in God's Word that we need to not just get, but apply. One must look for instruction. It takes effort. Let's look at number two there. One must listen to instruction. So letter A, don't let it slip away. When you're training your children, repetition is necessary, important. That is how they are designed to learn. Repetition. You ever watch Sesame Street? This episode has been brought to you by the number 5 and letter D. And as you watch the episode, you know, Big Bird has like 5 feathers and there's something about it. And the Cookie Monster eats 5 cookies. And the count is counting 5 whatevers. And then the number keeps popping up because it takes the repetition for an immature child to learn. Hey, when you've grown up, the repetition doesn't need to continue. But sometimes we make it continue because we choose to remain immature. Don't let it slip away. Here's two verses. Chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. By the way, Joe Grable's told me since I started in the book of Proverbs, this is his favorite proverb. He's got 2 sons, right? So. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Notice the word listen. The word to listen is one of the most frequent used verbs in the book of Proverbs. It's throughout the book of Proverbs. It's an important action word. It also means not just hearing, but doing, obeying. So my children, when they are hearing me but not listening, they don't know how to obey. Carrie had a real effective way of making them listen. Because a child's mind is everywhere, you know, and they're kind of getting some instruction and sometimes like, especially my daughter, Deborah. He's just, you know, a little impatient. And so Carrie would grab her by the chin, remember? And she'd get down and grab her by the chin and go, listen to me. She had a captive audience. Deborah will tell you today, she's talked about it. And Mom would just lay it out. And when they were done, there was no uncertain terms what Mom was looking for. To listen. It's that concept. Pay careful attention. Don't be careless. And there are many believers who are careless. We need to stop being careless and need to listen. The context of chapter 1, beginning at verse 8 to the end of the chapter, the context is this. You need to listen to your dad and your mom because there's a whole lot of other voices who are enticing you away from what they're teaching you. They're enticing you away. All right? There are voices calling you away from wisdom towards folly. There have been times as we're raising our children, they're reaching a particular age, and they come in with a conflicting thing that we have been teaching them that is related to God's Word. And unfortunately, there's been times when a believer is trying to lead them opposite of the way we're teaching them. As a father, it disappoints me greatly, and then it just angers me to no end. It gives us an opportunity to help our children hear and understand that there are some believers who are refusing to follow the Lord, which is a sad situation. The context here in chapter 1, starting at verse 8, listen, because there are those who are going to lead you astray. And then if you were to look at chapter 4, verse 1, it says, listen, my sons, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. Later on at verse 6, it says, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Sometimes we listen. Sometimes we're teachable. But then we say, that's cool. And then we forget about it and go over here and live as though we've never heard it. That's what chapter 4 and this verse is talking about. Don't do that. By the way, parents, your child's life of wisdom begins with you. It's not up to them to discover wisdom. That's silly. It's up to you. You are the one who's showing your child the way of wisdom. Okay? If you are not committed to God's Word, your child will not be. If you're committed to God's Word, your child has a great opportunity to be. They still have their own choice. Dads, if you're not involved in your children's growing up in Christ and understanding the Bible and their faith, if you're not involved in that, they're not going to. I have watched it. You need to be involved. The same is true with mom. But I think dads have a harder time being serious about it. All right. So one must learn, listen to instruction. Look at letter B. Learn to value true wealth. How many of you value wealth? Anybody? Yeah. Are you being honest with me? If you had $1 billion in your checking account when you retired, would you be happy? Okay, now I got the hands up, okay? All right. The Bible says wisdom is so more valuable than physical or material wealth. It doesn't even compare. Looking at verse 10 and 11 of chapter 8, it says, choose my instruction. It's a command. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. That's a pretty tall bill, isn't it? The contrast here is the world's treasure and God's treasure. Gold is not important to God. After all, when we make it to heaven, the streets are lined with it. Not very valuable up there, is it? Gates are made out of pearls. And we go, oh, cool! And God's saying, nah, it's ordinary. You see? You guys know Matthew chapter 6, where it talks about don't worry what you need. God will take care of you. And He takes care of the sparrow, blah, blah, blah. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There are far too many Christians chasing wealth, thinking that's security, thinking that will fulfill them. I always have to say this. I didn't say wealth is evil. Okay? I didn't say pursuing a healthy retirement is wrong. I'm not saying that. But if that's where your hope is, then you are wrong. Right? Okay, another verse, 13:1. It says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. And we talked about a fool who has no room for learning or correction. He becomes what is known as a mocker. Chapter 20, verse 15. Gold there is, and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. The focus of a wise person is the benefit of a healthy relationship with the Creator. It is far more valuable than the world's wealth or treasures. Look at letter C. One must listen to instruction. Learn to trust the Lord. By the way, if you have a relationship and you don't trust each other, your relationship is nothing but adversarial. It's fearful. It's horrendous. It's the kind of relationship that the Bible says, without trust in the Lord, that's all you're going to experience. And it leads to death. Maybe not choking, dying, and that, but it's a death of, who wants to live that way? Trust the Lord. Chapter 16, verses 20 to 21 says this: whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Trust is the catalyst. It is the important thing in a relationship. You need to have that trust in the Lord. It's something that needs to grow in you. You know how it grows in you? Taking a little courage and just trust in Him once more. Allow Him to prove faithful. And if things don't turn out the way that you wanted, don't blame God, because He cares deeply about you. Number one, if we learn to trust the Lord and we're blessed, number one, this develops a heart ready to listen. If you trust the Lord, you're going to be eager to listen to Him. The fool works to fix the world according to his opinion, but the wise work to fix himself with God's instruction. If I am trusting God, then I am able to trust that He's going to take care of the world. But it's a mess, and I need to do something to fix it. I got news for you. You can't. You cannot fix this world. You cannot fix this country. Do you need to do your part? Sure you do. But we've been trying to fix it with legislation and education and blah, blah, blah. The only thing that is ever going to fix anything is if you get your life right with the Lord. And then the Lord will use you to influence others. Because you cannot change their hearts. You cannot change their minds. God sure can. And He can do it if you choose to be submissive and obedient. So, learn to trust the Lord. This develops a heart ready to listen. And then number two, this develops a heart ready to share. The fool is eager to protect and deliver their own opinion. We've talked about this the past couple sermons. What I have up here in my closed steel mind is the right truth. Wrong. It's just your opinion. The wise are eager to practice and share God's wisdom. The fool says, I know it all. I don't need to know anything. Okay? Oh, they might say, yeah, I don't know it all. But then they'll tell you they do. The wise person goes, man, I need to learn some more. You know, I'm following God's ways. This is how I understand it. But am I right? And I'm not afraid to have you say, well, this seems to say this. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's take some correction. Let's figure it out. The wise are eager to practice and share not their wisdom, but God's wisdom. Then look at letter D. One must listen to instruction. Balance passion with knowledge. Sometimes we get all excited because so-and-so is full of passion. And we just want a piece of that action. And so we buddy up with them and they're our friends and they're full of passion, right? But they're not disciplined. You need to understand that is damaging to them, their life, and yours. I can't help it, but I got to mention another good friend of mine. Her name is Chicken Little. She led the barnyard with her passion, not with any truth. And they all looked at her and said, wow, you're passionate about it. Let's do this. Ah, and they went all passionate too. Hey, they're gullible. It's foolishness. They found the one who is wise, who had discipline with his passion. And he said, well, let me ask you a few questions. To which they all said, oh, yeah, there's nothing to the sky falling thing. Let's go back to doing what barnyard animals do. Don't be the barnyard animal chasing the passion. So here, chapter 19, verse 2. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. Wisdom thinks before doing. That doesn't mean overly cautious, because that can be a case, and that's not necessarily right. But the fool is one who just does and then goes, wish I hadn't done that. And a fool will say, but it's right because I chose to do it. A wise person is one who says, time out. Am I seeing this right? Let's control my emotions and let's look at the facts and let's go. Hey, I'm here to tell you, we don't control ourselves like that very much. That's why our opinions are flying left and right all the time. That's why we worship our opinion. It's led by our emotion, our imagination. Rather than stopping and saying, oh, well, Dan Daniels said that, but that doesn't sound like something he would say. Instead of judging him right away, hey, Dan, here's what I heard you say. Is that what you meant? Oh, heavens, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, okay. So now we're fine. But you know what we tend to do? That knucklehead. How dare he think like that? And then we start adding in all the data that helps support what we want to believe. That's a fool. That's the attitude of pride. A wise person is going to say, help me out, Dan. Passion needs boundaries. With good boundaries, passion is disciplined. Without good boundaries, your passion runs amok. You become impulsive. And a good salesperson likes it when you walk through their door, because they can sense the passion and you're not using your brain. And so then they appeal to that passion. Next thing you're walking out with a package of a bunch of stuff and you're going, wow, I got a great deal. And you go, why do I need all this stuff? Because you were gullible. You were a fool. We want to make sure that as believers, we are listening to truth and controlling our passion. Here's another warning. It's kind of along with don't hang out with a fool. You should be warned about hanging around somebody who just has undisciplined passion. They're going to rope you in. And you're going to hurt yourself or others. And you're going to be either offending others or embarrassed yourself. Be careful with those people who can't control their passion. Now, number three. One must learn from instruction. Letter A. The wise remember what they learn. We've talked about this a number of times, but I want to hit it again. Chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. That's the main verse that I wanted us to hear in this whole thing. Starting in verse 13 of chapter 4. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. You don't live for Jesus. You live for self. And when you hang around somebody who's not living for Jesus, you eventually begin to be influenced to live by yourself. I am not saying we should run away from everybody that is proving themselves not interested in God. That would be dumb. We need to be a voice of the gospel in their life. I am saying that if there's a believer who behaves this way, Paul says it in Corinthians, you should stay away from them. If they're not going to learn, then you should stay away. Warren Wiersbe made this statement, the will of God is not for the curious, it is for the serious. And I think we're too careless as believers so many times. We're careless. We're curious, but we're really not serious. Otherwise, we'd be obeying a whole lot more of God's word. Wisdom is not gained with a one-time decision. Because you made a right decision today does not make you wise. It's a lifetime of disciplining, being teachable. That's what makes one wise. The minute you say, yeah, I'm a wise person, you're not. You practice the fool. So the wise remember what they learn. Look at number one. They choose to walk the right path. Did you notice in there? There's both the positive and the negative. It begins there in verse 13. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well. Guard it well. Why? Because it's your life. You're hanging off a cliff, man. And you got the only rope that's holding you from falling all the way. You going to let go of that rope? If you give up hope, don't let go of that rope, man. Hold on until somebody pulls you up. Number two, here's the negative side. Choose to avoid the wrong path. And so it says stuff like, don't set foot on the path. Don't even tempt yourself. Sometimes as believers, we like to get as close to the edge of what is opposite of God's way, and we just want to live right there and go, ooh, this is exhilarating. You know what's happening? There's a hook, and it's yanking you right over. That's the mark of a fool. So it says, don't set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it. It's pretty significant and clear. How do you know what the wrong path is? Being in relationship with the Lord and trusting what the Creator says. Look at letter B. One must learn from instruction. The wise keep on learning. They never stop. Chapter 9, verse 9, instruct the wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The humble are eager to learn. The proud plug up their ears. Don't be proud. In chapter 19, verse 20, listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. It doesn't say, listen to it, and then you're wise. It says, in the end, give your whole life to seeking it. Give your whole life to applying instruction from God. And in the end, you'll prove yourself to have learned some wisdom. And then chapter 19, verse 27, it's sarcasm. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Ignore the bounds of gravity, my son, and step off a 20-foot cliff, and you'll hit the bottom. That's what it's saying. Look at letter C. One must learn from instruction. Behavior proves the heart. Chapter 13, verse 13. He who scorns instruction will pay for it. But he who respects a command is rewarded. Respect. Respect of authority. Respect of community. That is the mark of one who is wise. We could talk a lot more about that, because I'm sure there's a lot of yeah, buts. Get over the yeah, buts. Because God says one who has respect for others and the community at large shows a mark of wisdom. Chapter 13, verse 16, it says, every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. A prudent man, his behavior proves that he's prudent. Where the foolish guy, it proves that he's foolish. To quote a great philosopher, stupid is what stupid does. I'm sure they stole that line from Proverbs. Okay. Behavior exposes the person. The wise demonstrate disciplined learning. The fool demonstrate prideful opinion. Then chapter 19, verse 16, he who obeys instructions guards his life, but he who is contemptuous of his ways will die. We understand obeying instructions and guarding his life. The word contemptuous has the concept of willful disobedience, open disrespect. I'm here to tell you right now, this is the way of the world. And society has gotten further and further to this contemptuous lifestyle. I want to do as I please. Please don't judge me. What I want to do is right. To point a finger and say the world is messed up and wrong is really dumb. It's like telling me that chair is maroon. Of course I can look and see it. And the Bible claims that the world is messed up. Okay? But to look in your own life when you hear things like that, that's what you should be doing. That's what a wise person does. A fool likes to point the finger out there. A wise person says, if I got this problem. Fools care only for their own uninformed opinion. The wise care about the Lord. Then letter D, the heart guides the lips. I want you to be careful here. I'm going to make a distinction. Look at number one. The wise promote instruction. Chapter 16, verse 23. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Not judgment, not criticism, although in the right sense, those are good. But what we tend to do is like to rant and rave. And we're kind of like the banny hen that rants and raves and scratches and walks off all proud. That is anti-Bible, anti-God, right? When it talks about the heart, we need to understand it's not what you say, but it's what you think. I can be all kind. I can say really nice things about Paul, okay? But in my heart, I'm black as night against him, okay? But I'm looking good here. You know why I'm doing this? Because I want to look good to y'all. So who's the heart and soul of me? Me. Because my heart's rotten. But if my... And that's the attitude of pride. I'm critical of him in here. And if I find the right person, I'll voice it. That is not what a wise person does. A wise person is more concerned that you love the Lord and that you're growing in him. And all I want to do is help you meet Jesus, understand God's word, and we'll grow together. That's the difference between a fool and the wise. So the motive, the question, are you trying to promote God's way or your own way? Our desire as God's wise children is to make God known to others, not to make my impression known to you, but to make God known to people around us. And I think believers too often spend time promoting our church, promoting myself, promoting my family, and we forget that we should be promoting God and the gospel. Look at number two. The wise display even temperament. Chapter 17, verse 27. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. And a man of understanding is even tempered. The word restraint means able to reflect on what you're going to say, giving careful giving careful thought in your expression. I'm not thinking about protecting my reputation, but I'm thinking about how to represent God in a clear, accurate way. A wise person is also even-tempered, it says at the end of that verse. Even-tempered means in control of their emotions. Doesn't mean you don't get excited. Doesn't mean you don't have some passion. But it means that you're disciplined in all of that. In fact, this is one of the characteristics of an elder. You must be temperate, self-controlled. Don't fly off the handle. Don't get angry. Don't make decisions in haste. You're not driven by undisciplined passion. Again, it's not to protect my reputation, but to represent God's way. I want my reputation to be known that I just want to serve my Lord, and I want Him known, right? That's where we should be, and I ask the Lord for that on a regular basis. Got three applications here for you. You've heard one or two of them already. But number one, do you hang around someone who resists correction? Or we could also insert in there, who has undisciplined passion. My next question is, why? The Bible warns against their influence in your life. Why are they a significant part of your life? You should be longing to be with wise people. And the wise people are those who are enjoying growing in their relationship with the Lord. You want to be with people who are eager to be teachable in God's ways, because it influences and encourages you. Then number two, did you resist your parents' teaching? If not dealt with, the attitude will hinder your ability to receive instruction in God's ways. Humbly confess your behavior to your parents and ask forgiveness. Maybe you've done that, but maybe you need to do it again. Think through. Have you really apologized for ignoring your parents or rebelling? If your parents are gone, tell a sibling. a family member, or one of your pastors. Dealing with this problem will make you ready to receive God's instruction. There's a whole lot of us who have a problem with mom and dad, and it interrupts our maturity, not just spiritually, but also emotionally in our world. Then number three, this is what I'd love for you to do. Make a list of the instructions that you've heard from Proverbs so far. Now record what you have chosen to do to apply these instructions. As time continues, record how the Holy Spirit is growing you in these areas and identify those areas you need to give attention to. Often we come to hear a sermon and it's really good and it's really helpful, but in a week, what was it? I don't remember, right? What I'm asking you to do is record not what I'm preaching, but what the Bible is teaching. And I want you to interact with the principles that you're learning from Proverbs. Identify how you're going to do the hard work of maturing in Christ and taking correction and being teachable. Okay? And then record how the Holy Spirit is growing you. And He's going to grow you, and there are times you're not even going to realize it. And something will happen, and you go, oh, I'm behaving differently than what I would have done. God has changed me. And then you also need to be aware of those areas where you're not growing yet. And keep working. By the way, you'll never run out of those. And don't think of that as being negative. Just think of it as God is still working in your heart. He loves you enough.